You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
And as I said, it's Agri Tuesday today, and we're going to be taking a look at the state of the agricultural sector in South Africa. There's been some data that's come out, some positive data that we look forward to unpacking now and just seeing how it puts South Africa positions South Africa for the rest of the year. I'm joined on the line by Chief Economist at AgBiz. That's Wandile Sehlobo to take a look at this. He's joining me from an undisclosed location for his own safety. Good evening, Wandile. Thanks so much for taking the time. Let's start by reflecting on the agricultural exports increasing by 6% in the first quarter of the year. What do we make of the performance?
Absolutely. Good evening. I think this tells us that, while we have been talking about the midsummer drought, but it did not affect the entire sector. It's primarily hit those that are in the grains and the oilseeds because they are rain fed. But if you talk to people that are in the horticulture, fruit and vegetables, all of it is under irrigation. It benefited from that, as well as the better electricity supply for farmers to irrigate, and we managed to have the volume. We're also recovering in the livestock and poultry sector. And I think then when you think about the export data that is up 6% on a year-on-year basis, it tells you then those volumes that were available that we were able to export. And the second point that is important there, it also tells us that the conversations that have been happening between Transnet, organized business, organized agriculture to improve the efficiencies at the ports, they are starting to pay off, because those exports of agriculture first quarter alone, it's about $3.1 billion, not rands, that up 6% year on year. That's a big figure.
That is certainly a large figure. Where are we exporting to, Wandile? Who's taking up the exports, and where are sort of the big markets for us at the moment?
I think the first thing quickly to clarify to the listeners is that when you think about our export list for the first quarter, what we had at the top there were grapes, apples, pears, wine, apricots. So you can say fruit and wine and maize and a little bit of wool, which is why I was talking a lot about the fruit story. But in terms of our markets, 42% of our agricultural exports still go to the African continent. In Africa, it's primarily grains that go there and a little bit of apples and pears. And you do have some fruit juices and ciders that go there. And the second biggest market is the EU, where about 22% of our agricultural exports were still going there. They've overtaken the Asia and Middle East, because that used to be, for the past 3 years, our second biggest market. But of course, Asia and the Middle East combined is about 19% of our agricultural exports. And then you have a rest spread across the world. So we really nicely diversified into a number of key markets.
Wandile, I want to look at the impact that we can expect the agricultural space to go through for the rest of the year. 3 weeks ago, you and I bumped into each other at NAMPO, and we were looking at, I was sitting in the audience with the panel discussion that you were having around the impact of elections. Now that we know the outcome of elections, where do we kind of sit in terms of agriculture from a policy perspective? You alluded to the Transnet side of it, improving efficiencies on their side. But where do we sit now going into the rest of the year? And does the forecast look as positive as what it looked pre-election?
I think let me make a quick segue onto the data that Statista released today first, which is the GDP figures. If you look at those figures, yes, a slight contraction in the South African economy, but if you dive into agriculture, a nice expansion of about 13.5% quarter on quarter, seasonally adjusted. That good improvement in the agricultural figures in that GDP data speaks to these issues that I was talking about, of robust volumes in fruits, recovery in poultry, and a slight recovery also in the livestock industry. Now, if you think about then the second quarter, I think that's where the impact of the drought that negatively affected our summer grains and the oilseeds, you will see appearing. Hence, when you think about the performance of the sector, you may see in the next two quarters somewhat being muted, because the effects of that drought will start to pay off. But your bigger question then, that is related to issues of saying, where is South Africa's agriculture going, given all of the election matters that we see now? In our view, we still think that there are a couple of things that must happen. Firstly, regardless of how the marriage of convenience happen amongst the political parties, those that are leading the Department of Agriculture should not change the policy direction that we are in. The private sector, organized agriculture, labor all sat down to come up with what we call agriculture and agro-processing master plans. And yes, I know South Africans are tired of hearing about master plans, but this one was co-created with a direct focus on value chains that still have a potential, commodity corridors in terms of regions at which expansion could happen. So I think that whatever happens in the politics, the leader of that department needs to ensure that the DG and all of the senior colleagues that are there and in the provinces, they are focused on implementing this master plan. But also on land policy, we need not to reverse what Minister Didiza had started. If it's her, she has to continue with this. If it's somebody else, they have to continue also with this work. What she has done is she looked at the land reform. She realized that for a long time, the South African government has been buying land from 2006 up until now and not transferring it with title deeds to black beneficiaries, and it accumulated about 2.5 million hectares of land. Over the past few months, she began releasing some of that with title deeds, but the state is still sitting with about 2 million hectares. And I think that needs to be continued to be transferred to properly selected beneficiaries for the purpose of commercialization of agriculture so that we can see growth, we can see employment in the sector, but we can see also a big inclusion figures that coming up in various value chain. And I think that needs to continue. And of course, the issues related to network industries, the ports, the railway land, the municipalities, rural crime, water infrastructure and policy. These are all things that I think needs to be the focus, regardless of who will be the political leader in this sector.
You've just taken me back to the conversation or the debate rather that you had with Moeleketsi Mbeki around this particular point and the expropriation conversation that was discussed at NAMPO. It's certainly an interesting perspective, especially around what the agricultural land means for South Africa as a means of production and as adding value towards the economy. Wandile, before I let you go, I want to look at some of the contingencies that the agricultural space may have made. I remember when I spoke to Theo at AgBiz, he mentioned that there's a possibility that now that El Nino has passed, we might see La Nina as the next phenomenon, and it might be a little better for the grain side because it won't be as dry. What are the agricultural community, or what is the agricultural community doing now to prepare themselves for conditions that they have no control over, especially as we know how much of or how big a player the agricultural space is in terms of job creation and contributing towards the economy as a whole?
I think what the colleagues are doing at the moment, of course, they are watching what the political landscape will look like. We are reading to get a better sense of what each political party is looking at. But folks have decided to put their heads down and focus and continue with investment and growing the South African farming economy. Because we know that this sector, with a tough and relentless implementation of plans, release of land, it could see its gross value added expanding by plus 30% in the next few years. And we still think we can unlock next to 1 million jobs in agriculture and agro-processing. So those are things that folks are really focusing on. For the next year, of course, weather dynamics are always important, but we see a switch to a more favorable rainfall of a La Nina that will come to our shores, and we will welcome that. But I think broadly, the subsectors that will feel a strain financially this year is the grains and the oilseeds. We don't know how deep the impact will be because farmers are now busy harvesting, but that's something that we will assess. But the one thing before we close our conversation that I would say is that South Africa's agriculture is not in crisis, and the country is well food secure. Yes, there has been price fluctuations, and you continue to see, particularly in white maize, the price upticks which reflect the constrained supply. But in general, we'll still have sufficient to keep us going. It's only the region that perhaps maybe may face the acute food insecurity things later in the year when people read about that. They should know that South Africa remains fairly intact in as far as that is concerned. And farmers are busy in the field while they're watching what the politics are, but they are continuing with their work.
I love that you brought up the price point and the food insecurity side of it, because I want to finish this on a lighter note. And I want to ask you, as an agricultural expert and as the chief economist that you are, are. Why is it that things are so expensive in South Africa? Why is it that fruits like cherries that we grow locally and export are more expensive than other fruits? So there's staple fruits that are affordable in South Africa, but why is it that some of the stuff we are able to grow locally, I think of avocados at Woolworths as an example, and they cost so much?
It's all about seasonality. Some of the products, when they are about to be out of season, you may see those prices are ticking up. But I'll tell you what, on the avocados that you are talking about, after your show, go shopping. You will see the prices are fairly favorable at the moment.
I'm going to go do that. I'm going to go look at the avos. I'm going to see how much they cost. Thanks so much, Wandile, for those insights. Wandile Sithole, Chief Economist at AgBiz, joining me for this week's Agri Tuesday.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.